and you seem...
Hello, Belle.
Hi.
Hi, BBC Radio London here. Eddie will be with you in just a second.
Thank you.
By stealth. And then it would be, first of all, for people with medical problems. Then it would be for anyone who wants to take it.
So you're against it, then?
Cannabis? You better believe I'm against it.
Thank you, Chris. We'll talk again. Look forward to it. That's Chris and Crouch End there. You heard Chris's point of view. We're talking about it. You know, look, I walk along the road and I'm like... That's fucking split. No, hold on a minute. He's got a suit on and a tie. What? And you heard the professor say, hey, smoking spliff. Hold on a minute. I'm the only young black man around here who's smoking that spliff. Who's that? What? It's everywhere. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you it's everywhere. We talked about, you know, 30,000 people doing it for medicinal purposes. I just wonder if we talked about, if there was a way you could find out how many people smoke spliff just in their everyday life. I wonder how many it would be. I just wonder how many it would be. It is a subject that we'll continue to talk about today, and obviously we'll come back to it. It's one of those, isn't it? I just want to tell you, look, can I lift the mood a little bit? Because if we talk about it, it's not really lifting the mood because it's quite a serious subject, but dealt with in a slightly different way. Are you somebody who's worried about how much you are drinking? You're not an alcoholic. You're just... keep having a glass or two of wine when you really feel you probably shouldn't. That's most of us, isn't it? You might look for help from a sober coach. A sober coach? The number of admissions to hospital due to drinking alcohol has increased by over 20% from just over a decade ago. I thought you told me this was a happy, clappy subject. Goodness gracious me. It's people earning over £40,000 who need to worry. So the rest of us don't need to worry. But all those people who earn over £40,000 are more likely to be the bigger drinkers. Belle Robertson is an author of the blog, Tired of Thinking About Drinking, and a sober coach. What's a sober coach, Belle? Good afternoon.
Hello there. I think a sober coach is somebody you can talk to as you're navigating this getting used to not drinking thing. There's lots of people who know that they're over drinking, but they don't classify themselves as an alcoholic. And so that makes AA kind of an uncomfortable option for them.
Yeah, but most people who have a drink don't actually think they've got a problem at all. This seems to be talking to the people who are a little worried about it.
It is a little worried about it. But, you know, one way to check whether or not you're a little worried about it is to try to go 30 days with nothing to drink. And you realize that it's harder than you think it is. And that's exactly what happened to me. I thought I would quit for 30 days. And I got to about day 7 or day 9, and I thought, oh, you know, this is actually a lot harder than I thought, because we rely on alcohol emotionally for everything. Happy things, bad things, good weather, bad weather.
And what's the... See, if, let's say, you're a young parent, a young mom, and you've had that child all day, and you're just kicking back, sit down, watch a telly on the Netflix or whatever, and there's a bottle of wine, and between the couple of you have that bottle of wine. What's the problem?
I think the problem is when it affects you, and you're waking up in the middle of the night, and you're thinking, gee, I sleep so much better when I don't drink. Or when you think, gee, it's so much easier to get up in the morning with that kid if I haven't been drinking the night before. And it can be 2 glasses or 3 glasses or 5 glasses or 2 bottles or 3 bottles.
Yeah.
What I figured out with the people that I work with, the sober pen pals and the coaching that I do, is it doesn't matter actually how much you drink. It matters how it makes you feel. And, you know, like not showing up in the morning, not feeling great. I mean, like not showing up 100%, not being your best you, or rushing through the bath with the kid at the end of the day so you can get back to the wine. When that starts to like get in your head, you think, okay, maybe I'll take a break from alcohol. I'll take a break and see how I do. And then you find it's actually harder to quit than you thought it would be.
Well, that's interesting. And I'm sure that we'll talk to you again. I know there are lots of people who think, oh, I drink too much. And they look at the recycling bin at the end of the week and go, who drank all that? Yeah. But most people don't think they have a problem. Maybe that's a challenge. Maybe I got it wrong. Belle Robertson, sober coach there. Tom, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Eddie.
Belle, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Take
Can
care.
Can I stay on just to listen?
Belle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Leave you there.
Thank you.
Challenge. It's over 3 years ago now. And so you know, I've had contact with Belle ever since.
Just how bad was it?
I mean, like Belle was saying, it wasn't bad or terrible. And I think a lot of my friends initially thought, you know, it's just Tom going through one of his
excuses to throw away money.
What, for the drinking?
Yeah. Not through the drinking, getting a sober coach.
So the online, no, not at all. So it was more that the contact I had with Belle, the 100-day challenge where there's no charge to join in with that side of things. And then there are other elements on the site that I've decided to register with and use to keep the support going.
What's the difference between Tom now and Tom then?
So the big difference, I suppose, was particularly around my work. So within the first 3 months of giving up, I got a promotion at work, and then I decided, you know what, if things are going quite well, maybe I should carry this on. So I committed to another 100 days, another 3 months.
Of not drinking alcohol at all?
Yeah, not drinking alcohol at all. And I tried it before. I tried to do it on my own before, but got to about, you know, like Belle said, it gets really hard, and then put a lot of pressure on myself and start to convince myself that I deserve a drink. And I just found for me that I needed the support. I needed that person I could turn to and say, you know, I'm feeling yucky today. So, you know, help me out and get an encouraging email back and remind me what I'm doing and why. And then, yeah, I can get through another day. And I just found it work in my life, everything. I was just finding myself with more time. Like, suddenly I'm waking up in the mornings on a weekend and I've got all day rather than just the afternoon feeling horrible.
No. When you put it like that, Tom, it actually does make sense. But give it up altogether?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know. And I think, and again, this goes back to the choice thing. You know, for me, you know, how it makes me feel. And I tried throughout since I was 18, I've tried stopping and moderating and just, you know, having a couple. But for me, you know, once I've had one or two, you know, I want a few
yeah,
more.
I don't think you're on your own there. I wonder if anybody else listening has given up. Given up? How long for? And was your life better? Sober coach. That's Tom, a case study. Let's go and find out what's happening on the BBC Radio London Roads now from Billy Reeves.
I'm reminded while looking at the M11 and the A406 junction, which is very slow because of